Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote, even though I know I don't sound like one today. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail, a sitting president sleeping on cash, literally, a cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail, or even the post office operating even when they have nothing to do?
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. Taking the Rams by the Horns has been nominated for the 2024 ABFA Awards in the category of comedy. And that's not a joke. So please go to www.abva.africa, ABVA is APVA.africa, and cast your vote there to support this content. Now then, I do not think South Africans give former President Jacob Zuma his due.
Zuma must fall, Zuma must fall, Zuma must fall, Zuma must fall, Zuma.
For all his perceived faults, Zuma is a man of many faces for which he is not celebrated enough. Zuma was what I would call the poster boy for constitutionalism. He recognized the role and power of other organs of the state and did not impose his wishes on us. For 9 years as president of the republic, Zuma believed in and sometimes championed the call for radical economic transformation. But he did not push it down the throats of the country or even those of members of his own party who did not care for the poor. Instead, as a true Democrat, not only did he not implement RET, he rather happily joined the majority of his comrades in living large on the back of a free market economy. You will not find a better exemplification of the saying, majority rules. It was only days before his departure that he decreed free higher education, leaving a Morse headache for his successors, who are nothing but captured forces of white monopoly capital. Even the socialist former Minister of Higher Education, Baden Zimande, found it difficult to implement this revolutionary decree. More proof that Zuma is the only and truest revolutionary to lead this republic. Zuma also demonstrated in no uncertain terms his commitment to non-racialism. He made a lot of good friends with people across the color line. These include arguably the longest surviving terminally ill person in Shabir Sheikh, who served as JZ's financial advisor from the times Zuma was in the provincial cabinet of KwaZulu-Natal. So committed to the relationship that Sheikh was prepared to go to jail for Zuma. Zuma later returned the favor and commuted Sheikh's 15-year sentence, condemning the rest of his miserable life to playing golf and smoking cigars. Later in life, the son of Nkandla befriended another set of Indians, this time three brothers from India, the Guptas. During this friendship, the Guptas introduced a lot of cultural exchange, introducing a lot of our politicians to Indian food and teaching them the art of handling money that's not theirs.
You offered me some curry then before we could talk. I think that is their culture. Before you talk to them, you eat curry. So this thing you say in the public that people eat curry there is not a joke. It's true. You eat curry there. Okay. Vegetarian curry, I don't like, but I had to eat it. Curry, 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 curry. I ate. But that curry never finished me. I stood firm.
Far from it being Indian biased, Zuma also worked very well, not only with white people, but those in countries like England. When some of you started to make noise about his relationship with the Guptas, he enlisted the help of a UK-based reputation management firm, Bell Pottinger, to help educate South Africa about how backward they were in not understanding that what Zuma was doing with the Guptas was radical economic transformation. It was better articulated by a white man from England. Before the Guptas were in the picture, Zuma delivered yet another first. He got the ANC to remove from power his predecessor Thabo Mbeki before Mbeki's term was over. He did not get his flowers, but you and I know that Zuma delivered a masterstroke in removing Mbeki from office. 9 years later, Zuma took a sip of his own medicine when he was removed before the end of his term. That was another first. But unlike Mbeki before him, who meekly succumbed to the pressure to leave, Zuma first dug in and refused to leave office. He was right. He could not just leave before completing his RET project, which he had begun implementing with his Gupta friends from India. Zuma also wanted to do something generous before leaving. He asked for 6 months so that he could introduce his successor, Cyril Ramaphosa, to other world leaders, some of whom Zuma said were his friends. How magnanimous. Mbeki sulked and left immediately without helping Zuma to ease into the top job at the union buildings. Not Zuma. He felt and knew that he had to help Ramaphosa, who had no friends in higher places and therefore needed to be held by the hand by Zuma. Sadly, the ANC was done with Zuma. They got him out in the cold. Did that make Zuma unhappy? No. The former president stayed in the party, this time working from outside to encourage the party to finish off his RET project. He begged and begged some more. When they did not listen to him, he begged his ex-wife, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, to topple Ramaphosa as party boss. Yet another demonstration of Zuma's commitment to non-sexism. This was egg on Ramaphosa's face, whose running mate for deputy was another man in the form of Paul Mashatile. Zuma led the way. He supported a woman. Not any other woman, but one that divorced him as a husband. Zuma showed us that we should all let bygones be bygones. Also, what better way to avoid alimony than getting your ex-wife a job as president of the country? Unless she's greedy, that way Zuma would rest easy knowing that the taxpayer would carry his tab and support Dlamini Zuma with residences in different towns, heavy security, a cockpit privilege to the presidential jet, inquires. With the non-democrats in the ANC having prevailed, having voted a non-revolutionary to the party to lead the party and country, Zuma dedicated his time to motivate for the transformation of the ANC from that one that caused it up to white privilege and wealth. He started mobilizing quit to them, an ANC committed to the poor and downtrodden. Another first. But Zuma failed. The anti-revolutionaries were running the country and party. It was therefore time for another first. First, Zuma sponsored the formation of another political party, the Umkhonto weSizwe Party, MK for short. And later, he joined the MK party in protest against the ANC of Ramaphosa, as he puts it. But in another first, he was not quitting the ANC. Think about it this way. It's like a top footballer leaving Kaizer Chiefs to join Mamelodi Sundowns, but insisting that they remain part of Chiefs and will even attend team talk meetings before the games. Same with Zuma. He formed and joined MK but stayed as a member of the National Executive Committee of the ANC. Even for a renowned chess player, Zuma had taken this to another level. He was playing both the white and black pieces at the same time.
Can South Africans trust you, and what are you going to do differently?
South Africa trust me. Don't ask whether they can. They are trusting me. They trusted me when I was the president. And you can ask any South African how the country was at the time. They are trusting me now. They are taking me back. But they say that's where this is a man we trust.
And just when we thought he had played all his cards, there was one more up Zuma's sleeve. At the end of 2023, he announced that he would be voting for MK in the May elections 2024, but he would remain member of the ANC. More like a wolf announcing that it would be shedding its skin to join the family of sheep, but just for control, the wolf would keep its teeth and appetite for animal flesh. The ANC was incensed. It suspended Zuma pending disciplinary hearing, which they scheduled for after elections. In the meantime, Zuma's new party stole 2 million votes from his other party, in the process taking away the ANC's majority in the National Assembly and making MK the official opposition to a coalition government of the ANC and other smaller parties. In one fell swoop, Zuma came from the wilderness to be a member of the ruling party and the opposition all at the same time. If this is not a first, nothing is. That's like a man marrying a woman and later taking her ex-husband as his second wife. As music group Stimela once captured it, I love another and another loves another. It's a circle of love.
Zuma was president number 12. He never owned the ANC. Ramaphosa is president number 13. He doesn't own the ANC. So that is a misinterpretation and misunderstanding of what the ANC is. If you give it to somebody as an owner, you are making a mistake. Dube never owned the ANC. You can count them. Mahabane never. Kulu Puma never. He's president number 13. He is not the owner of the ANC.
The ANC was nonplussed, especially not in a polygamous relationship where they were junior wife when all along they were a strong husband. They called for a hearing, and this week the party fired Jacob Zuma. Another first for Zuma, the only former ANC president to be expelled from the party in its 112 years of existence. It was never enough that he was the only former ANC president without much education. He had to score another first, and this time he did. Zuma also wanted to attend the disciplinary hearing at the ANC's headquarters. Talk about Stockholm syndrome. Zuma may have left and started a new party, but he clearly misses Luthuli House. And his MK followers were also looking forward to visiting the ANC's headquarters in droves to support Zuma. Another first. In a dramatic turn of events, the MK party got livid that its leader and founder has been fired by the party that is now their opposition. That's another first, folks. So, if I understand this well, MK party wants Zuma to remain a member of the party the MK opposes in the National Assembly and in three other provincial legislatures. If this is confusing you, let me help you. Thembi Nkosi Lorch quits Orlando Pirates to join Mamelodi Sundowns. This makes a lot of Pirates faithfuls unhappy as they loved Lorch. Once he arrives at Sundowns, Lorch, in all his wisdom, insists that he must still get his jersey, salary and status at Orlando Pirates. Lorch, like Zuma, argues that he left Pirates in protest because they did not play the type of football or game that suited the club. Yes, believe it or not, in another first, Zuma is contesting his expulsion because he says he only left and formed the MK party, later voting for it only as a protest against the ANC, which did not allow him to finish what he started. I'm not sure whether he means to finish the country's coffers or his RET project, which he incidentally never started. And that, folks, is why I have so much respect for Zuma. He is what Brenda Fassie described as ngegum konfeme.
Each time when I come here, I am abused by members of your parliament.
He has 21 days to appeal his expulsion. And this time, I'm sure this is the first time JZ is not going to shock us. He will lodge the appeal 2 minutes before the end of business day on the last day of appeal. Yet again, removing a smile from the faces of his detractors. Not that I understand why and how the ANC did not call his bluff. I mean, they should have not dismissed him. In that way, the headache would be Zuma's, how he struggles between the party he says he loves and the one he formed to teach the lesson to the one he loves. Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I can do better than satire and sarcasm. From me, Rams Mabote, good night and God bless.